Call to order. Pursuant to the New Jersey Administrative Code, Title 10, Chapter 4, Subchapter 10, notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're going to begin this evening with the swearing in of newly elected members, as well as our sending district representative, Ann McGarry. That's Bruce Boulderman, Eugene Catani, and Terrence Hoberter. If you guys could please stand up and follow along with me. We did leave a script for you to follow along with as well. I'm going to come over here, so Ann, can you maybe hear me on the speakerphone?
I was going to say, Ann, can you hear okay?
Ann, can you hear me all right?
Sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, we're going to do the swearing in, so if you could just follow along with me, I'll try to speak as clearly as I can. Please raise your right hand. I state your name.
I, Terrence Hoberter.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
I state your name.
I, Terrence Hoberter.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the office of a member of a Board of Education.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the office of a member of a Board of Education.
Am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS 19-4-1.
Am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS 19-4-1.
Am not disqualified due to a conviction of a crime or offense listed in NJSA 18A-12-1.
Am not disqualified due to conviction of a crime or offense listed in NJSA 18A-12-1.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Okay, thank you all. Congrats. Sandy, could we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Boulderman?
Here.
Mrs. Bassone?
Here.
Mr. Burns?
Here.
Mr. Catani?
Here.
Mr. Hoberter?
Yeah, here.
Mr. Angolia?
Here.
Mr. Lucretta?
Here.
Mrs. McGarry?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Mrs. Pollack?
Here.
Mr. Serino?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Two little housekeeping items before I review the results of the election. All of you have on your tables, and Ann will get you yours, and Dennis will get you yours, your acknowledgement of ethics. If you could please sign that and leave that with Sandy before you leave. Also, once seats shuffle around, I know some of you are pretty far away, feel free to get up and reposition a little closer to the front. The results of the election on November 3rd, 2020, for 3 3-year full terms were Eugene Catani, 2,072 votes, Bruce Boulderman, 2,070 votes, Terrence Hoberter, 1,712 votes, Louis Barbera, 1,645 votes, and 18 write-in votes. Eugene Catani, Bruce Boulderman, and Terrence Hoberter were elected as members to the Manasquan Board of Education to 3 year full terms. Also listed below on page 1 of your agenda, you can review everyone's term length and when they'll be up for re-election. That brings us to item number 6 on the agenda, which is the nomination and election of a president of the Manasquan Board of Education. I'd now like to open the floor up for nominations for president. Mr. Boulderman.
Nominate Mr. Catani.
Mr. Boldeman nominated Mr. Catani. Are there any other nominations? Seeing none, I close the floor to nominations. Sandy, could we please have a roll call vote on Mr. Catani's nomination for president?
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hovater?
Yes.
Mr. Ungolia?
Mr. Ungolia? The nomination of Mr. Catani is on the floor. Mr. Ungolia?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to skip my vote, but I didn't realize I was muted as well. I beg your pardon.
Okay, so I assume that's a yes?
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you.
Mr. Lofredo?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you, Mr. Catani. You can take a seat over here next to Frank. But
before you do that, I just want to compliment Dr. Crowley for flawlessly executing his duty as board secretary. He did a great job. That was awesome. He even got the votes right.
A lot of practice on that gavel this week.
He was upstairs practicing today. He was hoping to hit the gavel. Congratulations, Jim.
Thank you.
That brings us to number 7 on the agenda. To nominate and elect the Vice President of the Manasquan Board of Education for the period beginning January 7th, 2021 and ending at the next organization meeting of the Board of Education. Do we have a nomination?
Gene Alfred Serino, please.
Did we have that on tape? Can we say that again?
It's listed that. I just picked the name.
Any other nominations? We'll close the floor.
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hovater?
Yes.
Mr. Ungolia?
Yes.
Mr. Lofredo?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Carrie.
Congratulations, Alfred.
Don't forget your name tag.
That brings us to our presentation for the evening. I'll turn over to Dr. Cajun.
Tonight I asked the principals and our director of school personnel and Mr. Coppola, our director of curriculum, to present on the restart plans for the upstate for Manasquan High School. At the conclusion of this presentation, I also would like to review the attendance for the week with the board. And I also have a letter that I generated today to send, which we have sent to Governor Murphy. And I would like to read that to the board so the board knows exactly why we sent that. So before we get to our mission statement, we'll first hear about our restart plan updates for Manasquan High School. The last board meeting, we focused on the need that we had identified for our freshman class to get some coordination of the educational opportunities that we have here in regards to giving them a little bit more because we felt that they were lacking in regards to the transition that they didn't get when we had that the COVID experience. So I want to compliment our building principal, our director of school counseling, as well as the director of curriculum for the plan that they put in place, which they're going to review right now. And thank you for all your fine efforts in this.
Well, thank you, Dr. Cajun. I'm going to start tonight. And just for the sake of those who are attending the first meeting, did not attend the last meeting, just a little refresher. We began to hear that, and it's not out of the ordinary, that freshmen are struggling with the transition from a smaller elementary school to the high school. And with COVID and the shutdown last year, some of the programs we would have liked to have run in a better situation, we had to compromise. And but in any event, you know, we got feedback from students and parents and teachers that some of our freshmen were struggling. So we decided to do a postmortem on first marking period of how we could support these students as freshmen at Manasquan High School for the rest of the year. We began that study by studying and comparing from last year's ninth grade students, their grades and their GPA. And I know Mrs. Kenny spoke at length about that last meeting. We also had the ninth grade students conduct a survey on their experience, including learning virtually and the hybrid schedule, the alternating blue-gray schedule that we have in place. At the high school level, I established a school-wide committee of staff to discuss issues that kids are bringing up, parents and teachers. Mrs. Kenny and Mr. Coppola were part of that committee, along with a lot of stakeholders in the buildings from all the department areas. Some of the things that we discussed as a committee were expanding use of teacher live streaming to engage students daily, including those who are learning remotely and virtually, and using that further as an instructional tool. We felt that enough time has passed that you know, teachers should begin with more familiarity with it, moving more towards live streaming daily in their teaching instruction. We also discussed, based on feedback from the survey, how to help kids navigate Canvas. Not all of our eighth grade students that come to Manasquan High School use Canvas in their ascending districts. So we wanted to help them how to navigate and discuss how we could do that and support them in using the software that basically has the digital workflow from teacher to student every day. We talked about, under our circumstances of having a hybrid schedule, student workload. How much work is too much? How much is relevant? What are the priorities of the curriculum that teachers should be teaching? You know, we got some feedback that kids at times are overwhelmed with homework and additional work that they received in class. We also discussed the value of midterm assessments. We historically here had final exams, and then we put midterms in there to assess where kids are in their learning. And we discussed under our circumstances the value of doing a traditional two-hour high school exam for eight classes that kids take here. We also discussed the eight-period schedule, if that was the best option for us to continue moving forward in the second semester. And we spoke about having conferences with students prior to our holiday break. And I thought we did do that, and that was, you know, I even did that myself with about 25 students. The conferencing with students to get feedback about, you know, how they were feeling about their experience, and we did that prior to when we went virtual for the week before the holidays. And also we wanted to, based on some of the feedback we got from the audience, and I believe it was in the November meeting, about the possible, and speaking with Dr. Cajun, about the possibility and analyzing a possible return of ninth graders marking period three. We had ongoing meetings with school counselors, with administrators, and parents, and students, trying to lay out a great, you know, the next steps in student learning plans for the rest of the year. As the issues were brought up, we used the use of Microsoft Teams in order to accomplish that rather than in-person meetings, and I thought they went very successful. And we're going to move towards now doing some next steps to help support as a result of all of this committee work. I'm just going to take the first item because I'm very familiar with a program like this, going back to my previous district. We're going to begin on January 11th to begin a drop-in after-school tutoring program for ninth grade students. That will be from 2:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. And if you look at the schedule, Monday will be mathematics, Tuesday will be biology, and mathematics, typically freshmen either take algebra or geometry here. Wednesday will be English, and then Thursday will be available world history and world language support for students. And we divide the subjects area of that so they can have access to just about all of their subjects on a weekly basis. This is primarily for in-person instruction. And certainly we can look at something virtually down the line, but this is primarily designed for the students who are in person that week and that day. We will also have a school counselor, our ninth grade counselor, Mrs. Lawrence Zaliski, who does a great job with the ninth graders there for an hour on Wednesdays after school if students needed to see her. And in addition to that, based on our committee work, we talked about providing training in Canvas and Microsoft Suite for students to be able to use based on the fact that a lot of them don't come to Manasquan High School with familiarity with Canvas and possibly Microsoft as well. So we will have a rotating session 1 hour a week, and we'll publish that to the kids prior to the week when that will be available, as to not conflict with each subject area taken away. If I scheduled it every week on a Monday, then some kids would not be able to go to the mathematics portion. So we have all of that in place to help support our ninth graders moving forward. And you know, parents and students, I wrote letters out that will be going out to freshmen either today or tomorrow, that to remind parents that teachers are available after school, and also that they have office hours that are available to them for students to continue to communicate with their teachers in order to get support. And at this time, I'll turn the presentation over to Mr. Coppola.
Rick, before you start, I just want to let the board know that, you know, I want to compliment the individuals in front of me for their data-driven research. When we left the last meeting, I was bound and determined, as you know, to bring the freshmen back at the beginning of third marking period. And in meeting with this committee, as we looked at the rooms, we felt that the whole concept of social distancing, we could not ensure that it would continue. So we've decided to take a look at, with qualitative and quantitative research, exactly what the freshmen needed and felt at this particular time we could service them without having to bring them back and changing the safety and security protocols that we have in place. So this was done with a lot of thought, a lot of committee meetings, incorporating both the teaching staff, guidance, the administrative team, Flipgrid. I mean, we had the chemistry teacher send us 40 students, asking them the questions about what they liked most, how we could do it better, what was one of the things that they felt they really needed. And they were very good with that. And from Leslie's team meeting with students in the guidance suite, we've come up with the program that we have this evening, and we're confident that it's going to help us service the needs for now of those students who are struggling. So I want to thank you for that. So this was done with a lot of thought and a lot of research. It was data driven. Rick?
Thank you. One of the issues, one of the things that we took a look at that Mr. Goodall had mentioned with our committee was the value of the mid-year assessment. And what we had agreed with in talking with teachers and getting feedback, and Ms. Kenny and her counselors getting feedback from students, was this was not a year where we should move forward with a traditional midterm examination. So what we did was, with the help of the teachers and developing an alternate type of assessment, a mid-year assessment that is going to take place over 4 45-minute classes beginning on January 15th, and it's going to run through January 28th. And the main focus on this for all the classes that students will be taking is this is going to be less about content and more about assessing skills, which is very important. In a year that we're in this year, where it has not been a normal year in a lot of ways, especially for our freshmen, we think that it's really a benefit to our teachers and our students for a couple of reasons. One, There's an opportunity for students to demonstrate that they've attained mastery in certain skills in all the different content areas. And for our teachers, it allows them to assess specifically where students are. And those results and the process that they go through with this mid-year assessment is really going to let them make decisions in terms of driving instruction moving forward in the second semester. So what this might look like, for an example, in the English department would look something like this. Over a two-week period, over four class sessions, students may be given, for example, a topic that they could write about, a theme-based topic in English, like, for example, loyalty, which may be a theme that covered a number of different works that they read over the year. And students would then be given the opportunity to write about this universal theme. They'd be given a choice of which works to choose. So whichever work that they felt most comfortable with, depending on, you know, their interest level and their proficiency, they would be given a choice by which to demonstrate a certain level of proficiency with their writing. So what that would look like over a four-period process over 2 weeks was, you know, students in the first session might be given an opportunity to explain why they selected a specific work. That might come in the form of a one-paragraph explanation that they would give to their teachers. The second period might be a time for them to demonstrate pre-writing exercises where they could consult with their teacher, and they could basically go through and, you know, talk about their process as to what that essay is going to look like. The third period might look like a peer editing exercise. And it would culminate in the fourth period, where there would be a short writing assignment where the students could, again, show that proficiency. So it really outlines a process by which students and teachers go through together that gives them an ending point where we could be confident that the product will really show what students experienced over that first semester. So again, it's going to look a little different depending on the subject area, more project-based maybe in our science classes. But all in all, this is going to be something that's not going to be more work for students. This is going to be embedded in their regular school day. But we feel that it's a very strong alternative to a traditional midterm exam because, again, this year there's just the expectation to have students, you know, have all that knowledge and be responsible for all that content is just not realistic. So this is what we felt was a meaningful learning opportunity and assessment opportunity moving forward. Teachers were given time at our in-service on December 7th to meet in departments and discuss these assessments. And these assessments will be turned in and will be evaluated by supervisors and by our building administrative team before they're administered on January 15th. So teachers are talking to their students about these assessments. I know Mr. Goodall has communicated that or is communicating that sometime this week with a letter out to parents. So that's what that's going to look like in terms of our mid-year assessment. Before you continue?
Sure.
I just want to make sure you give final approval for every mid-year assessment.
Yes.
It has to go through your scrutiny.
Yes.
Okay?
Yep. Yeah, we'll be looking at all of the assessments and how they're going to line up and everything else. And the important thing is to understand is this is going to be a manageable process. That's important. You know, we feel it's important that, you know, especially our freshmen who may have not had a comprehensive exam in the past, depending on what their experience was in their elementary schools, this was not the time to expose them to that kind of assessment situation. So it will be a process, and all those assessments will be approved.
Good.
At multiple levels. Mm-hmm. Ms. Kenny and I, we conducted an articulation meeting with our sending districts and our sending district superintendents to discuss student growth, progress, and future needs. We had that meeting on December 17th. The main thrust or the focus of that meeting was to share information with them about how our freshmen were performing, try to get some feedback from them in terms of, you know, what they've been hearing from their students, what they've been hearing from parents. Obviously, they're very much invested in their students, which is a great thing, even after they come, you know, here to the high school. So we shared a lot of anecdotal information. We shared a lot of data with them in terms of student performance, and we talked to them specifically about what our plans would be moving forward.
What came out of that meeting was a couple things. One, we agreed that one of the key areas where students need to focus on when they transition to the high school, as Mr. Goodall said, was being able to navigate Canvas as a method of delivery of instruction with our teachers. So what we're going to work with our sending districts is providing them and their teachers some kind of professional development in terms of being familiar and proficient with Canvas, so it moving forward, that's going to be a more seamless transition when students come from their eighth grade experience to the high school. So that's a piece that we're looking at. And we also have meetings scheduled for the third Thursday of every month where we're going to meet with, Ms. Kenny and I will meet with the sending district superintendents, and obviously we'll keep them up to date, and we'll move forward in not just assessing where this year's freshmen are, but continually assessing our programs and how we assess students and things along those natures. So we're excited to meet with them and excited to talk to them about you know, what we need to do to move our students forward. And finally, that we're going to be providing three sessions of professional development opportunities for our teachers to strengthen their knowledge, synchronous teaching with live streaming. This is really a continuation of what we've done in the summer. Lisa Kokoda and some of our other teachers over the summer, they held workshops with teachers to get them familiar with the technology and to talk to them about best practices in terms of how to teach with students in front of them and also students virtually in the same classroom. We have a lot of our teachers that have moved into that area as they become more comfortable, and we're going to provide even more structure and more professional development to increase their expertise in those areas. So those are really three key things that I think that will help us move into the second semester. And what we're really trying to do is do two things. We're trying to create support for our students and also momentum going into the second semester to really do the best we can to get them where they need to be and also to provide them with a positive high school experience. So that's where we are.
Any questions about the mid-year assessment?
I don't have any questions, but just make a comment. I say this as a parent, as a board member. My oldest son is a freshman. Yeah. So I want to thank you for being responsive, listening to the student body, because I do think this goes a long way. Frank and I met this week, and I let him know that I am seeing a change, and so thank you very much for that. One thing I want to comment on, though, is the asynchronous classes where you have the students being given a set of work or something to do on their own, and then there's an opportunity for the student to go to the teacher with questions or follow-up for clarification. And one thing I noted to Frank when we met is that I think that because the students have not had an opportunity to be in school every day and develop that personal rapport that you normally would have with a teacher, that I think that it's a big ask to, absent that rapport, to have the kids it be on their own initiative to go and ask the teacher. Mm-hmm. So my only comment would be, in looking at tweaking things and trying to navigate this landscape we're in, is that just keep that in mind, that if there are ways to better facilitate that, because I think that the students are not familiar with the teachers, they're not familiar with, even if they went to school across the street, not familiar with the building.
Are you specifically talking about the office hours during the alternate day?
Correct.
We had that conversation moving forward, and we're in agreement with you. That's something we need to reemphase, because when we developed the schedule early in the year, one of the focuses was that teachers and students would utilize that time during that alternate day scenario for questions and to continue. But that's an excellent point. With our freshmen who are not familiar with those teachers, with their teachers, that's not something that would be as organic as it would be for kids that have been in the building. So I think that's a message that we need to send to our teachers to kind of reemphasize that, because I think that's really a major piece to all this, to keep the continuity and engagement for our students throughout the alternate day. So that's something that we'll definitely focus on. And the good thing about it is, in a full year schedule, that as students become, as they have become a little more familiar,
maybe they'll feel a little more confident going forward, but we will take that step to reemphasize that piece.
Thank you.
So moving forward to if you go back, Jesse, number four, interestingly enough, in terms of, you know, what you were saying, Mr. Burns, we are going to be doing PSATs for all of our sophomores and juniors on January 26th. If you remember, we had it scheduled for October. We weren't able to do it, so I'm really excited I'm excited for the students to be able to have the opportunity to take the test. Sophomores and juniors, it's an important test for those students, just because for those who are looking at college-bound, after they graduate, it's important that they have the opportunity to sit for this test. In addition, the freshmen and the seniors will have that day as an e-day, all virtual day, and we spoke a little bit about this and making sure that the freshmen are feeling a little bit more connected to their teachers. So part of it is to have the freshmen continue having the opportunity to schedule conferences with their teachers on those all virtual days. If you remember right before the holidays, we took those couple of days to really schedule meetings. So, we had the parent-teacher conferences. We said we're going to have the student-teacher conferences. And I think that gave the students the ability to be a little bit more comfortable. So one of the things that we are doing as we look forward is to pre-schedule student conferences. So put a couple of dates on the calendar, primarily for students to know that they're going to go through their day and meet directly with their teachers. In addition, again, as Mr. Godal and Mr. Popola have said, we've spoken to a tremendous amount of students and parents and, really what is best for us as we go to the second semester. We do feel that at this point, keeping an 8-period schedule to maintain the consistency, it is probably, the most important thing for the students right now to continue to change things. If you look at the survey results that we did in November from the students, it was the back and forth. It was the blue day, the gray day, the virtual day. And if you remember, our freshmen have never had the opportunity to come into a building with a drop and rotate schedule. It's a big ask of them at that point to have to take a look and say, now we're going to come in, but we're going to change it again. We feel that, continuing with the teacher development and, modifying the workload, working on organizational skills with the students and sticking to what we already have in place will be the most helpful and provide, the most successful opportunities for our students. Additionally, we are going to continue with our support from the school counselors. We are in the second half of the year. We are looking now at next year already. So we are, full steam ahead with, starting to talk about scheduling classes for next year. And this will hopefully provide, more, conversations between students and counselors and even teachers in terms of classroom recommendations for classes next year, what types of classes they want to have. We're going to open the recommendations for the teachers and say to the teachers, at this point, we want you to talk to the students about class recommendations for next year. Since they're not in front of you every day, we think it's important that they have use of the pre-scheduled conferences to determine, course selection for next year. And additionally, continue discussions with our committees. Our teacher committees have proven very, very successful because they're seeing the students every day, and they're seeing the students at different parts of the year. So we want to take a look at what additional supports we can do for all students, which includes the possibility of taking a look at our drop-in program that we're going to start with freshmen, and hopefully, if we're permitted to down the line, take a look at opening that for 10th, 11th, and 12th graders as well. And so this is what we're looking at as we move towards the third marking period, which starts the 29th of January.
So before you go to the next page, if yes. I just could. What that might, I think that's a good idea for us to look at, and I think this was brought up at the last meeting. Not only our freshmen, but our 10th, 11th, and 12th graders that might need some extra help during the course of the day, And if there's some way that we can reach out to them to see if they are interested, and then we can work on posting again for teachers, because we'll need other teachers to do that. And Pete, we could look at the budget. I think we're in good shape. I don't want to speak for you, but I just did. And we can then do that for those three grade levels according to the need. And I'd like to do that sooner than later, because I really think this is going to be successful. It's, I think, what the students need, especially moving away from, as we go to our mid-year assessment piece and then moving from there to the end of the year. And hopefully the end of the year will be examinations as we know it. And we'll talk about that now. I think that's where we're going.
So additional.
Yes.
I'm sorry, if I could just on that point. So that, I think that's an awesome idea. And maybe this is something that is already being put into effect, but is there a way to kind of help guide the student, whether it's from the teacher's side or from the parent's side, to make sure they all know that this is available to them? And just maybe a little nudge from a teacher that maybe feels like a student could benefit from that.
I think, Rob, this is a great question for you. I think that as the building principal, I think you have a good rapport with students.
Right.
And I've seen that. And I think that you can reach out to them and the staff and let them know this is our plan.
Right. The parents will be getting, ninth grade parents will be getting a letter the later tonight or early tomorrow.
Okay.
But it's outlined in the letter already.
Yeah, the 10th through 12th.
Yeah, we'll reach out to them either by survey or large straw poll. They'll be interested. They'll be interested in doing it. It's having seen it in other places, it's very successful, the drop-in.
Okay, and then what just as a reminder, we're going to have to post for any other positions for that, so we can do it according to the association. And then you can set those as, you'll let me know as many teachers as you need.
Right.
From, yeah.
And sometimes with the drop-in, having a different face teaching algebra to you or geometry or biology is very beneficial to a student.
It clicks.
Absolutely.
And also just, you know, keep in mind that the teachers are available one day per week.
Yep.
Contractually. So, you know, we're hoping that, you know, if a student needs an additional support period, they will have the opportunity, you know, to do that personal face-to-face meeting with a teacher multiple times during the week if needed.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. It's awesome. Joe, we good?
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
And then finally, we talked about, you know, what are our next steps, and so... you know, I think that obviously, you know, we're all going through each day, you know, as that we're taking each day as they come. But ultimately, you know, when you talk to the students, it just sheds so much more light on things. And, you know, those are the answers that you know, you want to hear. You want to talk to the students. And basically, when we talk to the students, they want to be in school. They want to be in school. All of the things that, you know, a majority of the students, the things that they are struggling with is the inconsistency and the day-by-day. And, you know, we really do feel that if possible, if we could plan for a return for not just the ninth graders, but for all of our students for the fourth marking period. Fourth marking period begins April 17th, which I believe is a week after spring break. Obviously, you know, pending all of the COVID data and the protocols and you know, the vaccine distribution, all those other things. But if we, you know, collectively, you know, feel as though that, you know, this is something that we can, you know, go in that direction, then we are going to do that full steam ahead. We think that the students should have the opportunity, you know, our seniors last marking period of their senior year, if possible, offer the activities that they feel like they've been missing, whether or not they are, you know, obviously they're going to look a little bit different, but to be able to consider, you know, a variation of a prom or a variation of a trip. We think that it's meaningful, and so meaningful to the students, obviously, but something that we want to aim for. So, you know, when we spoke to the students and we spoke to teachers about, you know, what they want, they want to come to school. And so, you know, hopefully, you know, if we start to see, you know, over the next 2 months that this is a possibility, we will take a look at planning and do all those things. In terms of scheduling, it's my job to then take all of the students. Obviously, every student will still have the opportunity, should they want, to remain virtual. So if there's a student that is not comfortable, a family that is not comfortable, you know, absolutely that student can remain virtual through the end of the school year. But then, you know, from my office to be able to take a look at the classroom numbers, how we can safely socially distance the students. Can we go outside? Can we, you know, do things in different areas of the building? Can we utilize our new gym, this room, and see how we can maximize our spaces in the building to effectively and safely bring the students back for the fourth marking period? Because, you know, I think that's always been the goal. And so, if we can end the year that way, that I think that would be a great benefit to all. So.
Having said that, it takes months to plan this effectively. So our planning is going to start now. We're going to take a look at the schedule. We're going to take a look at the class size. We're going to level classes. We're going to look at the square footage of the classrooms according to now the more student bodies that they have. But understand that the whole concept of student spacing, that 6 feet, it's going to go away. I mean, the mask is still going to be used, but instead of 6 feet, it might be 5 feet. It might be 4 feet. But I would like to have the opportunity with my administrative team to look at all the facets of bringing the children back safe, as long as we follow the science and the data. If the data indicates to us that the cases in New Jersey are receding and the vaccinations have been successful, then I don't think there's any reasons why, as in the weather gets nicer, we can move to this. However, we still have to put a letter out to the community, and I'm looking at like March 22nd to put that letter out and give them a couple weeks advance notice that our intentions is to come back. So what I just said was on March 22nd, happens to be a Monday, but the president and vice president meeting, at that particular meeting, we'll make our determination as if the science indicates that we can, and everything tells us we're in good shape, according to our leveling of the classrooms, that we're going to send a letter out to the community and let them know that what our plan is to return all the students to the high school, and that last fourth marking period, hopefully get back to normalcy as much as we can. With that, I don't know about proms, I don't know about senior trips, but I'll leave that up to Mr. Goodall and his administration and Leslie. And I would love to have them, but if we could do them safe and secure and outside without any problems, then we'll look at it. But again, we have to follow science and follow what's out there. So, but we're going to start planning now because it's not just a weekend project. It's going to take us a while. Any board member have a problem with this?
I don't have a problem with it. I just want to commend all of you for taking that approach. Thinking a little outside of the box, taking a positive mindset, and having a goal. Thank you very, very much.
Yeah, this is a pretty hot topic in town. Right. So you came out with a great plan. So happy you addressed it as quickly as you did. And the town is pretty happy with this.
My goal is to see Mr. Coppola, Mr. Goodall, Mr. Reed, Ms. Kenny in Hawaiian shirts at a luau for the seniors on the beach. Manasquan, socially distanced, with a band playing, having a good time.
And I wanted to compliment Mr. Reed because he has done his diligence looking for outside venues, and he did even offer his backyard, which I know is in close proximity. So I don't know if he told Mrs. Reed yet, but I appreciated the offer.
Thank you. I commend you for this. And we have a lot of hard work ahead of us, but we're going to roll up our sleeves and we're going to do it. Good. Any other questions on the presentation before I get into attendance and the letter we wrote to the governor?
I have one question and a comment. The live streaming, is that anticipated to start third marking period? Is that what we're looking at?
The trainings?
Well, actually live
streaming. The actual live streaming, it should be starting now as part of their practice. Yes. And, it varies length of time. Mm-hmm. From period to period, course to course. But, by the time third marking period goes, we'll have these trainings done. You know, there should be no excuse not to use it.
Okay, great. And just one comment on notifying the public of our plan. Fred said this is a hot topic in town. Maybe we should send something out before March, telling them at least what our plan is.
Okay, I would just ask the indulgence to give me at least a month to put this together, because once we put something out, I have to make sure that we were diligent about that this summer with our restart plan. We don't change it. So it's going to, for us to brainstorm, so.
Yeah, and I'm not asking for something extremely detailed. Just saying this is what we're trying to achieve.
This is what we're
working towards achieving for fourth market period.
Okay. Oh, we'll put something out through email to the community.
I assume it'll be in the paper, too.
Next week. Do you have an extra presentation you can give the whole?
Sure.
So Pete, Jesse, and Rick, Rob, Leslie, Rich, tomorrow we'll have a call. We'll sit down. We'll put this all together. We'll map it out. I'll say, Gene, Tuesday next week?
That's fine.
Joe?
I think, and I'm sure you will, just for anyone in the community that has concerns, we're hoping a lot will change. Right now, things are high again. I think just letting the community know that there will be the option to still...
Virtual school.
Yeah.
Go virtual. Mm-hmm. You know, if they are not comfortable. I just wouldn't want there to create a sense of, not panic, but you guys may get bombarded with questions and concerns. I think covering all sides of that will be very important.
But understand, yeah, I'm with you. I understand that since we're doing it that soon, I'm not going to have answers to a lot of questions. So we're
absolutely
not going to put up a website.
Yeah,
that's the goal more than a plan.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay. All right.
Be short and sweet.
That way, okay. If it doesn't happen, you didn't fail.
I didn't hear you.
If it's a goal and it doesn't happen, you didn't fail.
Oh, okay.
If it's a plan and you don't execute it, then some people are going to look at it. Well, you told us.
Okay. So I'll definitely use that word, our goal is to, by the 17th. Thank you.
If I could just throw out there, the team did a great job touching on this, and Ms. Kenny, I know you presented at our last meeting and did a great job, and you and your team have been phenomenal through all of this. One thing that I was thinking, you know, when Lorette Schmieder got up and spoke at our last meeting, mm-hmm. As a physician and what she's seeing, your team, you may be overwhelmed, I don't know. The board approves training for many things, mm-hmm. teachers, continuing ed, diversity and inclusion, yes. We approve lists. Do you feel like your team needs any training? Is there anything that we can do to support you and your group, essentially?
You know, I think the things that we have, you know, coming down the road, I think are going to be beneficial not only for just my team, but a lot of the teachers as well. We have been looking into the Challenge Day, that's a school-wide program. We are looking at a couple of different programs that have come up, and a lot of places and a lot of companies, a lot of trainings have really started to take off now. So, you know, I thank you for saying that, because I am very proud of the work that they've done, and it's been a change, you know, and change in what their, you know, normal trajectory has been. But I do think that I certainly will be looking actively for, you know, engagement for them. I think that we have a couple of things coming down the road, like I said, a Challenge Day, you know, looking at part of the equity and inclusion, you know, types of programs that we have. If we certainly need them, I will, you know, absolutely.
Yeah, and I wasn't saying as far as that being, I apologize.
Right, but additional training.
But, you know, we're approving things as a board.
Right.
For further training.
Yeah.
And right now, I think your team is really, you know, just it's so important.
And it's been, you know, the irony of that is a lot of, we've had a couple of programs come in for freshmen and for different, you know, in different areas. We've done some safe schools training. A lot of that has been free to the public. You know, we've had people from the Samaritan Center come in, and there's so many, you know, collaborative entities out there that are willing to offer services.
Right.
So, you know, we have a great team of people too. You know, we have some staff members that have worked out in the public sector and have those connections. So, you know, I'm constantly forwarding trainings and information, but I certainly will take a look at, you know, potential things that they may be needing down the line. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else? I want to move to attendance. I think that the week following a break is very important, and we had discussed that, and I think that the 3 virtual days that we had before the holiday worked to our benefit. As I report on the attendance both of staff and of students for the week, at least Monday through Thursday. Monday, we had 4 teachers absent in the elementary school. We had 86% of our student population present. On Tuesday, we had 6 teachers absent at the elementary school, 87% of our student population present. On Wednesday, we had 5 teachers absent, 87% again of our population was in school. On Thursday, we had 7 teachers absent, and 87% of our population was in school. I think that's commendable to both the parents and the staff. Regarding the high school, now on the we have blue and gray days, so on the blue and gray days, I'm also factoring in our virtual attendance as well at the high school. Understand we have 123 students currently in our virtual school. On January 4th, we had 13 teachers absent in the high school. In our virtual school, we have 123 students, of which 4 were absent. We have 421 students in our grade population, of which 90 were absent. When we combine both, our average attendance for that day, those present were 83%. That was on the 4th, our first day back. On the 5th, we had 12 teachers absent, and we had a 79% student attendance. January 6th, we had 18 teachers absent, and we had an 84% students in school. January 7th, which is today, we had 17 teachers absent, and 78% of our student body is here. Now understand when we have that many teachers out, that we do have a problem with subs. And on January 4th, we had 6 subs in a building and 3, those classes had to be taken over by our staff. So again, I compliment our staff for taking their time. Of course, they get paid for it, but their prep time or their lunch time to fulfill the obligation of being in that class with those students. But I think what this is telling to us, we say all the time that students want to be in school, but this is data that we have that shows us that our students want to be here, and they're here, as well as the staff. So I think that was important. Any questions about attendance right now?
Not an exact number, but what's a normal attendance like in the first week of January? Percentage?
If it wasn't a COVID situation,
yeah, of course,
and we had actual days, I would think anywhere from 88% to 90%. And I have, Rick, 9 years principal, is that correct?
Yeah, right around there, about 88 to 92%, right around there.
Rob,
yes.
50 years. Yeah?
About that percentage.
Okay, so about 10%. So I think we're doing good. Our it's just a great community. Any other questions? Okay. I took it upon myself to sit down with central administrators, Pete, Jesse, and I. I will get you a new one. I feel I had 2 boys that were very good in athletics. And as a parent, I never missed any of their games. Be it in college, which Rob knows, Monroe, when I would walk in, when I could just about see because I was on the road till 3 o'clock in the morning, but I made all the games. And Governor Murphy has allowed us to have sports as we move into the season. So Pete, Jesse, and I sat down and put our heads together. We called Les Richens, and I told him that we were going to send a letter to Governor Murphy, Senator Singer, Assemblyman Sean Keene, Assemblyman Edward Thompson, Dr. Angelica Allen McMillan, who's our acting commissioner, and Colleen McGuire, the executive director from the New Jersey State Interscholastic Athletic Association. And it reads like this. Dear Governor Murphy, as a superintendent of the Manasquan School District, I am writing to request you that consider modifications to executive order number 196 as high schools begin the winter sports season. Specifically, the executive order effectively limits the capacity of indoor school athletic events to the players and personnel essential to the operation of the competition with no spectators. While we all appreciate the intent of this restriction and support its goals, minimizing the spread of COVID-19, the order in its current form deprives parents and guardians the opportunity to watch their children play high school sports, one of the quintessential parts of watching their children grow up. Without question, my top priority as the leader of a school district is to keep my students, staff, and community safe and healthy. Likewise, I know this must also be your top priority for all the residents of our state. If this year has taught us anything, however, schools around New Jersey have met the challenge by reimagining our practices and procedures and adapted to continued educating our students. Likewise, we can adapt our athletic events to provide an opportunity for our students and parents to experience high school sports while ensuring their health and safety. Manasquan High School's gymnasium seats approximately 1,000 persons. For indoor sports, most teams have around 20 players. If you were to allow 2 spectators for each player on both teams, this would be 80 spectators, under 10% of our gym's capacity. Well, this example is specific to Manasquan. This is comparable to most high school facilities. Accordingly, I request you consider allowing spectators limited to 2 per player through identity of ticketing verification at indoor athletic events, still not to exceed 25% or 150 total persons at the discretion of the hosting facility, subject to the following conditions. 1, temperature checks and symptom screening for all event attendees. 2, social distancing enforced in seating areas. 3, requiring face coverings at all times while indoors. These are now things schools do every day for more than 80 people. Being fully confident, our school and likely most schools around New Jersey can do this safely. I respectfully request you consider such modifications to your executive order. Since it can be done safely, it is my view we owe it to our students and their parents to allow them this opportunity. We sent that letter out today. We got one response so far saying Colleen McGuire, the executive director, is going to forward that to her lobbyist who deals with Governor Murphy. Am I correct? Well, we asked her to send it to her lobbyist.
She indicated the lobbyist is working with the governor's office.
Okay. And she indicated that the lobbyist is working with the governor's office, and she will bring that. We're going to see if this gets any traction. If it doesn't, then we're going to decide to go other avenues with it, which we didn't really want to do yet, but we're going to see if we get any responses. Any questions about this? I did send it to the board president first and asked just so it was okay that we do this. Okay. That ends the presentations for this evening.
Brings us to number 9, our mission statement. Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through the partnership with the community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to the members of the audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next combined committee of the whole and regular board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the committee of the whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during the regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote. Public comment on agenda items. Time may be allotted for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event that appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and group, if any, they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through a presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portion of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of performance of, promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comments on agenda items only. Would anyone like to be heard? Seeing no one, we'll move on to the Manasquan Sending District items. It's items 13 through 47. Does anyone need anything separated out?
That's my job, my doctor, in there.
You could just abstain to that.
You could just abstain from it.
Okay.
And we'll call the roll call. Just say you're abstaining to item 19, whichever one.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Do we have a motion for items 13 through 47? Yes. Mr. Serino? Mr. Burns?
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes, abstain from number 19.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hovater?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Do we have any old business?
Mr. Catani, there's a Manasquan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Item?
To the Manasquan items, item 48. Do we have a motion for item 48?
Yes.
Mr. Serino? Mr. Boulderman?
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hovater?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Any old business?
I had a question about what I just voted yes on, but I didn't get past it. In number 19, in Brown Brown Benefit Advisors, it doesn't list the rate, but are we still on a flat fee there?
Yeah,
or?
Flat fee of $50,000.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, it's flat fee still, yeah.
Same as last year?
Yes.
Thanks. Any other old business? Any new business?
Mr. Catani, I'm sorry, resolution number 33, I apologize, I missed this one, requires the appointment of a delegate and an alternate delegate to the New Jersey School Boards Association.
Okay.
So we'll have to name those, and if we could vote again on that resolution with the names in place.
Do we have any volunteers? Mrs. Pollock? Do you have an alternate? Anyone who works around Trenton?
I do.
Mr. Burns? We need to vote on that again?
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We voted on it blank, so yeah, we'll.
You have a motion and a second, actually.
Okay. We have a motion for item 33.
Yes.
Mr. Serena, Mr. Overder.
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hovater?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Any new business? Brings us to executive session.
There's nothing.
The Rock? No. Okay. No items in executive session tonight. So, do we have a motion to adjourn? Mr. Hovater? Mr. Serino? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.